Good morning. Hello. I can't whistle. Good morning. My name is Eric Vail, and I'm a member of the worship ministry team here at Gates Presbyterian Church. And I wanted to say welcome to everybody. We are glad that you're worshiping with us this morning. We hope that you find GPC as a warm and welcoming faith community as we share worship and fellowship together this morning. GPC also has many mission and learning opportunities, so please take a look at your bulletin as there is a calendar and many announcements of life in the church. If this is your first Sunday with us, or you've been here for many, many Sundays, we're also glad and grateful that you are here worshiping this morning. It is our hope that you will experience the love of Christ this morning and His presence during our time of worship. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to ask somebody sitting around you. Our elder today is Anne Marie Sim, and she'll be at the communion table welcoming any comments or questions you have after worship today. During the offering this morning also, if you would pass the hospitality register, sign it, pass it along, so that way if you don't know who's sitting near or next to you, this is a way for us to greet each other by name. This morning we have at least one announcement. Tess?
Thank you. We are trying to update our directory, so outside the door you'll see on the table we have printed out everybody's names, addresses, phone numbers. If you could just please check yours, make sure that it's correct. If it is, put an initial or a check mark by it, something that I know that you checked it. If there's anything that needs to be changed, please just cross it off. If you've moved, you don't have your landline anymore, you have a new cell number, whatever that is, just cross it off and change it, and we'll try to update it. Thank you.
Did anybody else have an announcement? Okay. It is my pleasure to welcome back this morning Reverend Jennifer Street, or Jenny. Jenny is a member, or was a member, of Asbury First United Methodist Church and was ordained by the United Methodist Church back in 2012. Shortly thereafter, she became the head pastor at Walworth United Methodist Church, and Jenny currently is serving as chaplain at the Fairport Baptist Homes. We are glad to have you here this morning, Jenny. Welcome back, and we look forward to worshiping with you. So come. Let us open our hearts and minds before the Lord our God.
Good morning. Please stand as you are able for the call of worship. Welcome to worship today. Praise be the Lord. When the world feels hectic, always know that you will find welcome here. We are grateful for hospitality and friendship that are offered here. Come, let us worship the God who always welcomes us. Let us open our hearts to Christ, who welcomed friend and stranger alike. Amen. Please join me in the prayer of confession. Patient Lord, we want to extend the hand of welcome and friendship to all whom we meet, but you know that sometimes we shy away from reaching out. We make judgments about others based on their appearance and other surface factors, and we neglect your mandate to be a welcoming presence. That lack of welcome extends further when we see needs that must be addressed and choose to turn our backs. We turn away from the pain and suffering, protecting our own lives. Yet you remind us that as we welcome others, so we are also welcoming you. Heal us and give us strength and courage to always be welcoming others in your name. Amen. How wonderful it is to be welcomed by our Lord through God's church. Rejoice in God's welcoming love for you. Thanks be to God. Amen.
And Jesus said, "Let the children come to me." And in that spirit, I invite the young and the young at heart to come forward for our time together today. Okay. hit hard. Well, it is a hot day. I think it's in the 70s, and I think it's going to get warmer and warmer. So I'm going to kind of look out here. Is anybody in the congregation feeling just a little parched? Is anyone feeling a little thirsty? If you're feeling a little thirsty, can you just kind of raise your hand? Well, there's a lot of you that are thirsty. This might actually be quite a long children's sermon. All right. Well, I was wondering, could you guys help me out just a bit? There's a few people that are thirsty over there. Could you help me? If someone's raising their hand and they're thirsty, could you walk this over to them? Can you walk this over to somebody who looks thirsty? Yeah, you got to get up now. That's what happens when you choose to come up for children time. There you go. Anyone else looking thirsty? All right. Can you find someone? I'll just pour water, and you see anyone else who looks a little parched? Anyone else look thirsty that you see? All right, one or two more, I think. How about just one more? One more. Oh, there's a lot more. Man, all right. Just a couple more. Just a couple more. I'm not going to run out of water. You get hugs. Wow, all right. All right. And I'm kind of thirsty. Oh, sorry. Okay, man. Woo. Oh, that water tastes so good. Oh. All right, now, on a scale to 1 to 10, how hard was it to bring a glass of water to someone? 1 being so easy, like your heart beating, and 10 like pushing the church over. Okay? 1 to 10. If this was 0, it was 0 hard to give people water. How about you? What would you give it? You give it a 1. How about you? 0. All right. So giving people a glass of water isn't that hard to do, right? So today in the scripture, we're going to talk about giving people a glass of water. And that is an easy thing to do. And we're going to talk about other easy things we can do to be nice, to be helpful, to look out for others. So giving somebody a glass of water when they look thirsty, that's like a 1 or 2 difficult level. And I think sometimes we think about how we follow God and how we follow Christ and what we're supposed to do to be good Christians as a 10. And I don't think it's a 10. I think doing what's good and following God is more like a 1 or 2, like passing out a glass of water to those who are thirsty on a hot day. So right there today, you've already done your check. Good job. You are a great Christian. Thank you for coming up for children's time. I'm going to invite us to pray. Dear God, thank you for gathering us here today. Thank you for being in our lives, giving us opportunities to serve you in little and small ways each day. Thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you.
First reading today is Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, for I will sleep the sleep of death, and my enemy will say, I have prevailed. My foes will rejoice because I am shaken. But I trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me.
These hands are the hands of loved ones. These hands are calloused and old. These hands raised a family. These hands built a home. Now these hands raised to praise the Lord. These hands on the heart of my loved one, and with hers we're never alone. If these hands failed their task, what more could one ask? For these fingers have words to the bone. So don't try to judge me about what you'd like to see, for my life hasn't been a success. There are people with power, yet still they grieve, while these hands brought me happiness. Now I'm tired, I'm old, I ain't got much gold. Maybe life ain't been all that I planned. Lord above, hear my plea. When it's time to judge me, take a look at these hard-working hands. Lord above, hear my plea. When it's time to judge me, take a look at these hard-working hands.
Gospel reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 10. Let us listen to these words. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. Here ends today's gospel reading. Well, I want to thank you for inviting me back to be with you today. I absolutely love this church. I have two young children, and they're in the nursery. They love this church because this is a train table in the nursery. So I don't know what you're working on, big campaign, but the train table is really drawing people in. So good work. So it was the middle of the winter, and I work part-time, so that means some of the time I'm home with the kids. My husband had gone off to work, and it was one of those cold and kind of dreary winter days. And I was starting to get antsy, because I get antsy when I'm stuck at home all day with the kids. And so what I did is I looked in the fridge, and there was, of course, no food in there. And I said, aha, we will go to the grocery store. At this time, I had an infant and a toddler. They're about a year and a half apart. So I began the process of getting them all ready and out the door and in the car and out of the car and into the shopping cart that's about this big with the car seat and the toddler seat. And this was going to be my great big adventure for the day. Well, I enter into the store, and within about, I don't know, 2 minutes, it all goes to you know where. Everything starts to fall apart. The baby starts crying. The toddler's trying to pull everything off the shelves and try to escape. I completely forget where everything is in the store, so I can't find a thing. We are a walking disaster going through the grocery store. We are loud. People are, you know, patting me on the back saying, oh, you got a handful. Yes, they do. And so finally, and you know, a couple times before when this happened, I would just go home, but then you're back at home with no food. So that really worked out. So I was determined. I said, you know what? I am going to finish this shopping trip, loud kids or not. So I'm sweating. I'm going through the aisles. Finally, I get to the checkout aisle. I get there, and they must have seen me coming. They must have seen me coming. And in some of the stores, they have kind of like an overseer or an MC of the shopping aisles or the checkout aisles. And so the person there sees me coming and says, come here, we're about to open aisle 10. And they go over and that person opened aisle 10 for me and they said, honey, we will bring your groceries to the car. I almost kissed the person right there in the grocery store. It was such a gift. And now for that one person, it was maybe two, three minutes out of their day at work. It was probably what they're paid to do, but it made all the difference in my life. Now, I would like to say that I am fully put together and that only happened once in my life. However, that happened pretty much every time I went to the grocery store for about 2 years. I remember the first time I went and they didn't open an aisle for me. I'm like, what is this? That small gesture made me so loyal to this grocery chain. I will go there forever and ever. And that small gesture made the world of difference to me. Today's gospel reading, Jesus is talking to the disciples and the people that are around. He is talking to them and he is trying to explain to them how you do mission work, how you do ministry, how you show love of God to people that really aren't interested in it. People that aren't faithful, people that don't go to church, people that say they don't like God, people who say they're spiritual but not religious, people say that my dad says this too, he's a wonderful guy, but God is on a sailboat during the summertime. People that say they are just not interested, people who tell you horrible things someone church, one pastor did to them 1 year, many years ago, and therefore no longer, I don't want to be a part of a church, how could you? Jesus is talking to them. How do you go in and show God's love, share God's message to people that are just not interested, that want to have nothing to do with it? And Jesus makes it very, very complicated today. Today's lesson for the 4th of July weekend is very, very complicated. Get out your notebooks. This is going to be a hard one to understand. They brought in the headiest theologian Melissa knows. The message for today is, give someone a glass of water. That's what Jesus says. It is not a hard message. Jesus says, you see someone that's thirsty, give them a glass of water, and you're doing what you're supposed to do. Goodbye, good lesson, huh? Well, because I'm supposed to be here, I'm going to go on 3 more points of how we should look at this today. The message of God is not complicated. I think sometimes we make it more complicated. We think that we can't be doing God's work or teaching or preaching and doing God's work unless we're that, you know, pastor of a big church, unless we're a nun in Calcutta, unless we're, just a wonderful, high up there, wonderful, spiritual, with an aura around your head kind of person. And Jesus says, no, no, no. Really, you are doing God's work when you give someone a glass of water and smile at them and say, are you thirsty? It is a simple message. I'm going to go 3 ways today. The first message you can take away is what you do, even those small things, make a difference. Sometimes we think that what we do doesn't matter. Sometimes we think that it doesn't matter that we're, that we're passing out the bulletins or making a little lemonade for a coffee hour. Sometimes we think that our letter that we send doesn't matter, dropping off a hour doesn't matter. Sometimes we think the little things we do don't matter. But the example I gave of just opening an aisle for someone who's a little stressed out or giving a glass of water to someone who's thirsty, those things matter. It is the little things that matter. Our message is not just a message of God. It is not just a message of Jesus. It is not just a message of the Holy Spirit. It's not the message of three in one. Our message is of all of us. In order to be Christians, all of us need to be Christians. The Christian faith is all of us working together. We are all pieces of a large puzzle, and that means you matter. But you do make the difference. It is all those small things that come together that makes us what we are. Christianity is made up of the Christians that came before us and all the small things they did. Christianity is made up of all the things that we're doing. Christianity is made up of all the children and those that we're raising into this faith. That makes us all. Now, the Bible has many different stories to emphasize this point over and over. Anytime the Bible has a story that's important, they say it, like 50 times in case we don't get it. And one of the passages that you may be more familiar with comes from Matthew 25. It says something similar to, "What you do to the least of these, you do to me. When you clothe someone, when you give them food, when you help them, that is what you're doing to me." All of our small acts to each other is showing God's love. Now, the Bible is filled with people. Filled and filled and filled with people. If you've ever tried to read it through, you probably stopped about the Old Testament because you got to one of those books that is just name after name after name after name. It's not very exciting. But I think we have those names after names after names after names of people we don't even say what they did to remember that all of those people did something small that is part of our bigger story. And then we even look at, we have 12 disciples. I challenge some of you to name all 12 of them. You can start doing, you get to like 6 or 7, you're like, wait, don't they all have the same name? It gets confusing. We have 12 disciples, and they all, we can't even remember their names, and they did big, big work. And yet just their small task built our story. There are a bunch of small things put together to do great work. Now, this concept is not unique to the Christian faith. This is a concept that all people of all understandings of the world kind of grasp onto. And one in particular that's a little more famous than me, his name's Maxwell Gladwell. He wrote a bunch of famous bestseller books. And he wrote the book Tipping Point. And in this book, Tipping Point, he talks about how the tipping point is when things kind of build up and then make a change, kind of the boiling point, where lots of little items all of a sudden become a big phenomena or a big trend. One of the examples he gives is about the fax machine. Now, I don't understand fax machines. I'm too young for it. We still have one at work. Why are we still using that? That is not my thing. But fax machines, everybody here at least knows what a fax machine is. So the fax machine came out in 1984. And when it first came out, people were like me, like, what is this? Why are we doing this? What is the purpose of it? But they started slowly selling them to different businesses. And they sold one here, one there, one there. Until eventually, it was in 1987, all of a sudden, enough people had them, and enough people were asking for documents to be faxed over to somebody else, that all of a sudden, every business bought one. So all of a sudden, it went from like no sales to a million sales in 1 year. It was the tipping point. 1, 2, 3, 1 million. All of a sudden, everybody had one. And by 1989, 2 million people, almost every business out there, had one. And I share this story, really, probably like that has nothing to do with God and Christ, but I share this story because it is all individual purchases. It is all individual people in their own small office saying, oh, we should do this. And slowly but surely, it became a must-have in every office. The same thing happened with cell phones. It was in the 90s that people started to have them, but they were big and clunky, and it was mostly for doctors and important people. But as they got smaller and as they became cheaper and as service got better, soon everybody had them. And by 2002, 2003, all of a sudden it tripled in how many people had them. And my guess is all of you have one in your pocket right now. I work at a nursing home. Every person, 90 and up, has a cell phone. They don't know how to use them, but everybody has a cell phone. It is just something that you have. I share this because it is all small things. It is all little small purchases, small deeds, small goods that build into one big, greater thing. So our first thing is small things, what you do makes a difference. My next point is we need to remember to say thank you. We need to remember to have gratitude and thanks for the small things. We are good at saying thanks to the big things. We are great at it. If you give us $10 million, we will put your name big on a plaque on that extension. If you raise enough money for a run or a fundraiser, we will give you a t-shirt and a water bottle and put your name on the back of the t-shirt. If you give big, we are good and we will not forget to say thank you. But we're not always good at saying thank you for the little things. We're not always good about writing thank you notes for the $5 donation, or a thank you note for the extra cookies that came here, or a thank you note for someone watching your kid for 20 minutes. I always say thank you for a long weekend, but sometimes I don't say thanks to my mom when I go out for the grocery store without the kids. You know? We sometimes forget to say thank you for the little things. My example of that is I work at the Fairport Baptist Home, and I am dependent. And between myself and the rec department, we have a lot of volunteers. I say we probably have over 100 volunteers. And this past week, we did our volunteer luncheon. So about a month ago, we made these silly little invitations, and we sent them all out saying, you know, please come for the volunteer luncheon, and we give you a little, this year we gave you a pocket flashlight. Very exciting. So we send out all these invitations, and then I'll see the volunteers over throughout the month, and I say, oh, you know, you haven't RSVP'd yet. Are you coming? And time again, people would say, oh, I don't think that's for me. That's for people that come all the time. I only come for an hour once a week or once a month, or I only come once a year for the Christmas concert. That's not for me. I don't do enough. The reality is all my volunteers maybe come for 1 hour a week. 1 hour a week. And some of my favorite volunteers come for 2 hours a year. But those little hours make such a difference. I used to do this dreadful Christmas Eve service because all people that sing in choirs have other things to do for Christmas Eve. So I did this dreadful Christmas Eve service. Oh, I was so embarrassed. And then this one church that's kind of dwindling, now their choir sings on Christmas Eve. It is the most joyful thing. I honestly hug them and kiss them every time they come in. But said, oh, we shouldn't come. They sing for 35 minutes once a year. But for those 35 minutes, it makes all the difference of the world. So when we say thank you to our volunteers, I mean it for everyone. The people that volunteer for 1 hour once a year and the people that are there day in and day out volunteering. We need to remember to say thank you even to the small folks. My third point. We need to keep doing hard work even when it seems like no one notices. We need to keep doing those good deeds, those unnoticed acts of kindness, those small notes out here, the small little things. Our life is often going to be filled with lots of small deeds that go unnoticed. But you need to know they are noticed. You need to know that you're not going to do things all the time that are going to get you a recognition or a plaque or anything else. But you need to keep doing it. Because it's all these people doing small deeds. Continue to faithfully do them that makes the difference. This story was told to me almost every week at my old church, and so I'm glad I get to tell someone else this story. There was a woman who, she filled the candles at the church. She filled them every week, but she had a key. It was a small church, but pretty sure everyone had a key. So she would come in during the week and unlock the door and fill the candles. One day, she gets sick, and she's out for 3-4 weeks, and people kind of forgot that she filled the candles. So 1 week during the service, the candles go out. And it was her. It was because she hadn't been filling the candles. And people had kind of forgotten all the things she had done. I don't know if it's a great story, but I was told it literally every single week. But we're just reminded that it is those small deeds, and they make a difference. And so I hope you know whatever small deeds you're doing in your life with your spouse, with your kids, with your family, whatever, and where you work in this church, I hope you know that those small deeds make a difference. God calls us to serve. God calls us to serve in small ways each day. And I hope you understand that that is important. I hope you understand that everything that you do reflects God and God's work. So this 4th of July, I have a pretty simple message for you. The message is, keep doing what you're doing. Offer a glass of water to somebody. Do random acts of kindness. Because each of those pieces makes us who we are as the Christian faith, who we are as a church, and who we are as an individual. My hope is that when you do those, you're not doing them for recognition. My hope that when you do them, it is grounded in a deep sense and an understanding that that's who we are. That's what we do. We show kindness, we show love, we show empathy in all that we do to all that we encounter. Hope you have a wonderful 4th of July. Thanks be to God. Amen. We know that God hears all of our prayers, those that are deep within our heart and those that we raise up to the Lord. And at this time, I invite us to share any joys and concerns and any prayer requests that you have today. We are so filled with prayers within us that, and we trust God so much, we know we don't have to say them aloud. So let us pray. Gracious and loving God, Lord, we thank you for this church here. We thank you for those that we love that are in our heart, those in this community, and those throughout this world. We give you thanks for all of creation, the love and the care that surrounds us on every side. We pray for our country this day as we celebrate the 4th of July weekend. We pray and give thanks for the freedom that we enjoy. And we ask that that freedom can be spread throughout this world as the love of God is. We pray for our leadership. We ask that through all their work, they can represent God's love and God's work. We hope that through them, we can create a more just and peaceful world. We pray for those that are serving in the armed forces. We ask blessings on them and ask that they can safely come home to us. We ask that their work be able to create God's world here in this world. We pray for those who are sick, those who are injured, and those who are troubled in any way. We lift up in prayers the names of the folks listed in the bulletin today. We know that you know our concerns, those that we share with others and those that keep us up at night. We pray for those that are out of work this day. We ask that they may find good jobs and be paid just wages for their labors. And we think of and we remember those that we love and yet see no longer. Be with us as we grieve each of them. Grant them rest and peace in your heavenly kingdom until our time comes to meet them again. And Lord, you have given us so much. Teach us to have a grateful heart. Teach us to awake each day aware of our blessings that surround us and your presence at all times. We pray all of this in your name. Amen. I invite us now to join together in the prayer that Jesus taught us, our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now there is a hospitality register. You know where it is, so I invite you to do what you do with it. And then I invite you to be nice to the people you passed it to. All right. Now God has blessed us in so many ways, and we give thanks for that blessing through our time, through our talents, and through our offerings. So I invite us to share in our offering today.
you have given each and every one of us. Please show us, lead us to give each other a glass of water, and show us how to use our other gifts to help others here in our community and around the world. In your name we pray.
As we go forth today, Lord, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we go in peace today. Amen.